Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Celeste Headlee. I am broadcasting from our affiliate station, WDET, in Detroit today and tomorrow. General Motors releases its first quarter earnings this morning. Analysts expect profits to drop slightly because of losses in Europe. But on the whole, the outlook is rosy for the automaker, with U.S. vehicle sales rising dramatically and costs going down. GM recently upped its yearly sales outlook to 14.5 million vehicles, and sales increases in 2012 could be in the double digits above 2011. That's still a couple million short of the levels before the financial collapse, but it's good news for a company that's so recently faced disaster. It's been just 3 years since the U.S. government had to inject billions into the auto industry in order to keep GM and Chrysler from bankruptcy. I spoke with Dan Akerson, the chairman and CEO of General Motors, at his headquarters in Detroit, and I asked him what he thinks of the political backlash against the so-called government bailout of his company.
This is not the first time that the American government has injected themselves into the American economy. If I asked you who was the biggest owner of commercial property in the United States in 1990, you wouldn't say the United States, but it was. Savings and loan crisis, they pumped in $394 billion, call it around $400 billion, not 50, $400 billion. And then they had the Resolution Trust Company. I'm sure you remember that.
I do.
And then they started selling it off as the market recovered. So it's not unusual to see governments, for a short period of time, inject themselves into a marketplace to stabilize it. The analogy I like to make, you remember last year when Joplin, Missouri had the terrible tornado, or Katrina. It's in the basic DNA of Americans. We don't walk to help our fellow citizens. We sprint. This part of the country, the arsenal of democracy, saved this country in many respects, along with many millions of sailors, soldiers, Marines, airmen, Coast Guardsmen. But it built the arsenal that saved the Western democracies. And then what did we do? In the interest of international comity, international trade, we lowered our trade barriers, not just to anybody. We lowered them to Germany and we lowered them to Japan, our mortal enemies. And they built export economies to the detriment of this part of the country. It didn't happen overnight with a hurricane or a tornado. It happened over 30 years. So a million jobs were saved. That's what I say. $150 billion has been reported in terms of total tax revenue that would have gone by the board had the company not been saved and all of the supply chain that would have gone down with us. And then if you back off and you say, at the time we went under, or we went into bankruptcy, we had about a $25 billion pension deficit. We're the largest pension fund in the world, $134 billion. It was about $25 billion. Just in my tenure, we've gotten it down to 12. Good progress, but $12 billion is a big number.
That's still a lot.
But think back if we had gone into bankruptcy and liquidated in 2009, that $25 billion would have gone to the PBGC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is government-sponsored. Footnote to that comment is that $25 billion would have bankrupted PBGC. And whose dime would that have been on? It would have been on the taxpayer's dime. That's never in the calculus. So, you know, I know this is a political year and everybody wants to argue for tactical and political advantage. Again, I don't have the luxury to do that. I'm not making a political statement. I would say let's be pragmatic about it. It worked. And so I think, as a government, we the people. By the way, I'm a Republican.
I know. It's on your Wikipedia page.
And I think the government does have an obligation to step up and help its people. This wasn't a giveaway. It was an investment. It was an investment in the American people.
I wanted to read you a comment that Mitch Daniels, the governor of Indiana, made. He was in an interview with the BBC, and he said, and I'm going to quote him here, He says, let me just make this point. The reason I remain uncomfortable, and he's talking about the bailout, is that we lost more jobs in the recreational vehicle industry, for example, in the state than were threatened at GM and Chrysler. No one offered to spend hundreds of thousands per worker on them. How was I to tell those people your job is not worth as much because you're not politically connected as the people at those two companies? How do you respond to that?
Well, again, I don't want to debate that with the governor because maybe they should have. I won't argue that. But I know there were a million people at stake here across many different state lines, including Indiana. We have plants in Indiana, too. And it would have, at a time when the country was potentially coming to a ugly outcome, given, think of the time frame, 2009.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no money. There was no money put at risk. So when people say, well, it should have been saved another way, it should have gone through a bankruptcy, a controlled bankruptcy. I was in private equity. I was managing many buyout, where you do the big buyout of corporations with a portfolio of anywhere from $50 to $100 billion. There was no way you could have gotten me to put $1 billion into this thing without the restructuring that was really mandated by the government. And so I don't want to get into the politics of comparing my situation to someone else's. This
and yet
was
you're
good.
Stuck in politics. I mean, just recently Joe Biden said GM is alive, Bin Laden is dead. I mean, your company has become a part of the political discourse, and it will probably be more so as we get closer to the presidential election. Does that help or hurt GM?
I don't know. I think most people have gotten past it. Of course, it's a political gear. It's come up. Gee, wasn't there a time when Chrysler was saved back in the 80s? I don't remember things being quite as divisive as they were now. Again, I'm not a politician. I'm not that, I guess I'm not that quick, that smart on an interview like this, but I will tell you, I know it worked. I know jobs are saved. And I'll tell you what, go back to the arsenal of democracy. Great countries do two things really well. They make things. They manufacture and create value. They also grow things. This country is blessed with a great manufacturing base and a great agricultural base. To have foregone it because of years of mismanagement, maybe by management and the union or both, but it was mismanaged. Now we've got a second chance. We don't deserve a third. We've got to get it right this time. We don't get it, in my opinion. And it's been saved. It's controversial, but I got a hand. I picked up the hand, and this management team's picked up the hand, and we could have failed. We're not going to fail.
Okay. Dan Akerson, Chairman and CEO of General Motors, thank you so much.
Thank you.